want to talk to you about spiritual warfare, the inner battle. Now, some of us are like, what? Oh, boy. No, you're not getting weapons today or ancient swords that they use in Lord of the Rings. But today I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare, the inner battle. And I want to talk to you about words in your heart, your words in your heart in the battle. If you talk to anybody that's been in the armed forces, there's a lot of different ways to prepare for battle and how you go about battle. But one of the things is your words and your heart. And can I have some of you gentlemen right here? So Jonathan and Samuel and John, why don't you guys help me? Pass one out to everybody, okay? I've got a handout for everybody, just one for everybody. Or if you want to take two, you can take two. But anyhow, before we dive into the message, on your paper that I'm handing you, there's a target on there, and it says threats to my camp, threats to my camp. And I want you to begin to think throughout this message, what are current threats to you, to your family, to your health, to your job? What are the things you might see in your life that the enemy of our soul, which the scripture calls, you know, the old serpent, the lion, the deceiver. He's roaring like a lion around it to crouch and devour those that are in waiting. What is the enemy? What's he trying to do in your life? Where's there a threat? I want you to begin to think on that timeline there. At the end of the message, we're going to take a moment where you're going to write some of these down. But I want you just to think right now. Begin to think. What are threats to your camp? And some of it could be. Let me give you an example. You know, maybe you just went to the doctor and the doctor's like, you got high cholesterol. Well, a threat would be you've got high cholesterol and you need to start eating better. That could be a threat to your camp. Think of a camp as like the camp is you. And you'll see here in a minute, I've got a video clip I'll show you. But the threat is to you. What's that threat that may be coming to you? So with that, let's dive into here. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And so you can turn there in your scriptures, 1 Samuel 17. And this is the familiar story about King David and Goliath. And so, Drew, you can take me down a little bit more on the mic, please. Thank you. It's a little hot there. So we're going to talk about King David here and the battle. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 23 here. But I want to remind us, we are called to fight the good fight, right? Scripture calls us to fight, to stand up and fight, not to back down. And to put on the whole armor of God and stand firm. In Ephesians 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God and stand firm. And Paul writes, once you've stand firm, keep fighting. But I don't know about you. How many of you have ever become battle weary? You've gone through a season of your life where you're just like, man, can just everything go well for me for a while? Or can everything just line up? You know, the washing machine doesn't break. The kids don't get sick. I get that raise. I don't get sick. You know, I don't know. There's no one leaves, no one quits at my work, and we have enough employees to run the operation, so forth and so on. We all go through seasons where we get battle weary, and we start listening to some of those internal voices in our minds and our spirit. And I would submit to you today that those voices come from the one, our enemy, who works to deceive us, who to convince us, there is no hope. Many of the times we call these the mind wars, right? You have a mind war. But I want to talk today about spiritual warfare, their inner battle. The Gospels and the Psalms talk a lot about this inner battle that we must fight, that we must win in the spiritual realm. And so that's what I want to talk to us about today, about how do we experience the good fight? How do we fight against the one who seeks to destroy our identity as children of God and convince us that the battle is already lost? So how do I win or begin? How do I win or begin? How do I address this battle? And so I want to start off with one verse for us. Psalms 19 and verse 14. It says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the spiritual warfare, the inner battle, I want to focus on these two words here, this word mouth and this word heart. As we go through life, and as you've probably experienced, many of you in here, and I look across the room, your faith, you've been faithful to Christ, you've fought some battles, you've been through some trials, some long days, you've experienced also some great victories because your heart and mind was focused on Christ and stayed steadfast on Jesus. But these two areas are really crucial to winning the battle, in the inner battle, in the inner life. You know, it seems sometimes that the victories that we see start with two things. We either say something or we believe something in our heart. And what does our mouth say and what does our heart believe really gets us to the finish line, gets us to those points of victory where we see the Lord do things. And I just want to remind us that you know, our words are formed in our mind, but realistically, out of the abundance of our heart, what does Scripture say? The mouth speaks. It's what's in our heart that goes up to our mind and informs our words and our behavior. I want to remind us of a couple of verses here. First is this, in Romans 10, 8 through 11, talking about words of your mouth and your heart. The Apostle Paul writes here, he says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." Amen. So there's a correlation between heart and mouth, heart and believing. And in the battle, there's a correlation between what you believe and what you say. How many of you have seen somebody, or maybe you've been this, yeah, your heart, you believe in something, but your mouth really doesn't, you know, confess that and doesn't stand up for that. It's kind of the whole, put your mouth where your money is kind of mentality. There's a lot of people that say, "Oh, I believe in God, and Jesus can do all things." But when the trials come, when the warfare comes, what happens? They don't claim Jesus. They don't go to Jesus. They don't call on his name. They go to every other possible other thing first versus going to the name of Jesus first. And so that's what we want to highlight, is that there's some correlation between your heart and your mind here. And then Jesus said also in Luke 6, 45, he says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So once again, there's this correlation between what you believe in your heart and what your mouth confesses. And in spiritual warfare, both have to be aligned together. And that's what we're going to see here in a moment with King David, that what his heart believed is also what his mouth confessed. And what his mouth confessed is what led him on to the many victories he saw in his young life. I want us to remember that the words of our mouth confess trust in Jesus. And our heart's meditation and belief needs to be pleasing to God in the midst of those battles. And that when we go through the battles, our heart has to believe, but also our mouth has to confess in those hard times. I was talking with someone today before church, and we were talking about how it's one thing to believe in Jesus, but it's another thing to believe and tell others when they come to you, "Oh, hey, you know, Dan, I'm going through a hard time. What should I do?" It's one thing in your heart to believe, "Oh, I believe in Jesus." But there's another thing to say, "Oh, you're having a hard time? Let me tell you the name that's above all names, the name who is faithful, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom." It's a whole other thing to take what's inside and to bring it outward and to confess that there is hope in the name of Jesus. And so I want to show you a video here. It's from National Geographic Channel. It's called Life Below Zero. And you're going to see this lady. Her name is Sue, all right? And you're going to see she's wearing an interesting hat. But she lives 190 miles north of the Arctic Circle. She lives like way up on the very top of Alaska. Anyhow, you're going to see a short clip. This is her. She lives by herself. She runs a little airstrip where people fly in for hunting trips and resupplies and all that. Well, anyhow, you're going to see her. And so I want you to just pay attention. And I want you to have this thought about spiritual warfare, about what's in your heart and what's in your mouth and what your mouth confesses. So, all right, so let me get to the next slide here. Music up, right, Drew? All right, here we go.
You don't know when something unique is going to happen out here, but you better be on your toes. There he is. He's on top of my ridge now.
After a brief stay in Dead Horse, Sue has returned home to find a wolverine lurking around Kavik's perimeter to protect herself. Securing camp is a priority.
Came in last night, got as much done as I could, noted the wolverine tracks, and it's a decent-sized wolverine. Saw my little foxy bloodied up. Got up here to look around, just make sure there's no wolf, there's no anything directly in my path to go from here to the shop. And boom, way out here about a mile and a half is the big wolverine. Is that a threat? Absolutely. They are a force to be reckoned with. And they will take on a 800-pound grizzly and win. You know, and it's just one of those things. I've got to make a committed choice. Do I go after the Wolverine? Or do I continue on my chores? If he comes closer in, then I got to, there's no choice. I got to go take care of it.
All right, who wants to live there? Right, so that's Sue. So anyhow, that's a little fox. So the thing is, that's her little fox is the pet, and the Wolverine has come in and attacked the fox and surrounding her campsite. The reason is there's food there. And so that's kind of the premise. So so here's the first thing I want to talk to us about is this. Acknowledge there is a threat and secure camp. All right, when we fight spiritual warfare, we have to acknowledge and begin to secure the camp. We believe in Jesus, right? We believe in Jesus. Many of you here all across the room, you believe in Jesus. But a lot of times, your belief sometimes doesn't translate into action with your mouth or with your physical being. And in this here, Sue noted that there was Wolverine tracks, and she put into action. She believed her camp was important. She believed that taking care of her little fox pet there was pretty cool, as important. And so with her mouth, she went out and she declared there's a threat, and she has to be ready to secure the camp here. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Maybe you're already there. We're going to start in verse 23, and we're going to read this. It's not going to be on your screen here, but we're going to read this this account here of King David here. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 23, and I'm going to be reading here out of the ESV. So remember, so David has went to the front lines. Remember, his dad told him to take bread and cheese to his older brothers, the warriors in the battle. And David is the young boy. We think roughly he was probably 14 to 15 years old here. He goes up to see the big brothers, to see the battlefield, to see this big thing going on. So verse 23, it says, as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. Remember that. David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, but for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. He took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, we just pray that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you for your living word that guides us and teaches us, corrects us, and strengthens us, and makes us mature and be able to fight the battle and win. Because, Lord, you go before us. We say thank you for the sword of the Spirit, your written revelation to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So too often, just like the nation of Israel and David's brothers, we see a threat, we see an adversary, and what happens? We back away. The Israelites were encamped, and they saw the threat, but what were they doing? They were doing nothing. Nothing. This was the same Israel army that had seen God do miraculous signs. This was the nation that had seen God deliver them, do incredible things, yet they were facing an adversary, a spiritual war, and they stopped. They didn't go any further to secure their camp. The Philistines were coming. They were flanking them. They were ready to encroach upon their camp, take over them, and to have devastation just overwhelm them. And yet, a little boy shows up, a 15-year-old, comes walking in, and he believed in Jehovah, and he also confessed Jehovah with his mouth. What's interesting is all the men of Israel and King Saul believed in the one true God. Yet none of them wanted to step over here and confess with their mouth that the one true God was about to smash you Philistines. Was David special? We could say, was he anointed? Yeah. But was David special from any of the other men or his brothers? The answer is no. He just was willing to confess with his mouth what his heart believed, what the other Israelites were scared to do. Verse 20 and 23 shows us here. It says, as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, a name, came up out of the ranks in the Philistines and spoke the same words before, and David heard them. David heard the threat to Israel. And just like in that video clip we saw, there was a threat to the camp, to Sue's camp, and she took that threat seriously. But she could have just taken the threat, got back in her little cabin and bunkered down and been like, oh my goodness, oh, I saw Wolverine tracks. But she went out and went on the offensive. She believed that she could protect. She believed that she had the capability to defend her territory. David came and believed that the God of Israel, the God of angel armies, was able to defend Israel. He believed in his heart that there's nothing that could stop the Lord Almighty. Thus, his mouth was confident to speak and to go out. How many of you today need to take heed of what's being said around you? You need to hear what's going on around you and then put into action a plan to stop that by the power of the Spirit. David heard Goliath's defiance, and what did he do? He immediately took that and got into battle plan mode. He immediately got into preparation to prepare to defend and to call in the name of the Lord. But sometimes in spiritual battles, we step back and we don't take our threats seriously. And so my question for us is this: what threats have you heard recently but you're not taking seriously? The Israelites, I would say, we don't know. We don't have any journals. We don't have any videos there from, their YouTube videos, them. We don't know what they did, but they waited and they waited and they waited. And we can only assume if, when you wait on an enemy, what happens to the enemy? The enemy takes ground. The enemy says, well, if you're not gonna come against me, I'm going to come to you. And so we can only assume that the Philistines kept pressing the Israelites. And we don't know. This is all just anecdotal. But we don't know. But we think, put yourself there. If you're not going to stand up for the one true God, and you hear you got these Philistines start taunting you, can only imagine they were probably getting ready. They were building their works of war, getting everything ready to come overtake the Israelites. But David heard the threat and immediately went to begin to stop this and to put in a rescue plan. So what threats have you heard recently but you're not taking seriously? Sometimes we need to say them out loud. And saying the threats to us out loud does not speak them into existence. And there's some very bad theology that if you say something that, if you say you're sick, then you're always going to be sick. That's bad theology. But taking an inventory of the threats ahead of you, what's in front of you, is very spiritual, because we then thus we begin to say, God, here's the threats that are facing me. Now, I know you're faithful and true, and I'm going to start declaring with my mouth how you're going to stop this. What's interesting is David, as soon as he saw the threat, did David have to go back and consult someone, or did he have to go and think, well, God, are you good? What have you done in the past? What did David do? Instantly, he knew God was good. He knew he was faithful. He instantly started saying, hey, we're gonna take it to you, Philistines. You're not going to defeat us. Because David, his heart belief didn't waver in trusting that God was faithful and true. And so when we go into spiritual warfare, when we start naming our threats, we need to instantly, when you see the threat, begin to instantly start saying, God, I see this threat in my life. But God, you're faithful. You're true. You're holy. You're my provision. You're my battle buddy. You go ahead of me. Don't sit there and be like, well, is God true? What's, you know, no. You have the written word of God, his revelation, that is out of his character. How many of you have seen God be faithful in your life? We could all raise our hand probably. So when threats come against us, secure the camp, take it serious, and begin to speak to that threat that my God is faithful and true and that he's able to defeat the enemy. We have to be able to discern the threats around us, and we have to be able to begin to make a battle plan. What I love about David is he was young, and sometimes maybe his youthfulness got him into trouble, but also his youthfulness was a witness to others. When you see the threat coming in your life and you believe that Jesus can overcome this, and when you immediately begin to call in Jesus' name, others around you are going to be strengthened. They're going to see that. They're going to see, oh, this is the one we call upon. This is what we do when things come against us. Second thing I want to bring out to us is get to the roof. Get to the roof. What's interesting is, in that video clip, Sue got to the roof to get a better position. And if you've been in the Army, or if you hunt, or you understand, you have to get a better eyes view, right? You got to get a better aerial view to address the enemy, the threat that is against you. You know, in the video there, Sue didn't have an emotional breakdown. She didn't go, like I said, she didn't go back and hide. She got to an advantage point to see, how can I defeat my enemy? And today, in the second point, I want to encourage us, you need to get to the roof. You need to get to an advantage point, a spiritual advantage point. So how do you do that? What do you do? Well, 1 Peter 5, 7 through 10 gives us a format or a rubric of how do we get to a spiritual vantage point when we know the enemy wants to come after us. But like I've said it before, the enemy may have some good tricks, but he's stupid. He's very dumb. He can't do anything new. All he can do is lie. All he can do is lie to us. That's his only weapon. Yet Christ gives us here in 1 Peter the rubric of how to get to the roof, get an advantage point where we can see the enemy and defeat the enemy. Look at this verse. Peter writes to the young church, to the church there, and to the elders. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Man, that's a great verse. So how do we get to the roof? How do we get to an advantage point? First is a few things. Look at here. There's a few tactical points here. First is be alert. You have to be alert. What's interesting about what Sue was, she's always on alert. She's always, if you watch from the video, she's always on alert for predators. Church, we have to be alert. David was alert when he came to the front line. He already knew his brothers were at war. He already knew the Philistines were coming against Israel. He was alert to their threats. And we must also be alert to the threats that are coming against our camp, against your home, your vocation, your physical health, your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with Christ. You have to be aware, be alert. Second of all, be sober. Isn't that interesting? It just means, I would say, don't be dull to what's going on around you. Don't be going through life so, what's the word? Well, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, intoxicated or unaware, yeah. Yeah, don't be so out there and so, you know, full of other things. You can't be sober and understand what God's doing in your life. And resist him. The third thing, it's a very simple process. Be alert, be sober, and resist him. What's interesting, if you watch the rest of the episode, that Wolverine, Sue goes after him, chases him, and the Wolverine goes away. We have to resist the enemy. In the inner battle, you have to resist. David resisted the enemy. He resisted what his other brothers did and the fellow Israelites and what King Saul did. They hid, they went back. He resisted that passivity, and he became active, and he went out against it. The fourth thing is that your fellow family is fighting along you. We have to remember that as we engage in spiritual warfare, that we have a body here that fights alongside of us. We have a body that's with us, that goes out and fights with us. And then lastly, God will be your strength. To get to a tactical vantage point in fighting the battle, you have to be alert, be sober. You have to resist the enemy. You've got to remember that you're not alone. You've got battle buddies, and that God alone is going to strengthen you. That's a promise of Scripture. That verse there in 1 Peter, it's a promise. And he, some of your versions might say, it says, and he himself will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Church, that's a promise by our Savior that he's going to be there. So fight the battles. See the threats. See the threats. Get to an advantage point. And so my thought for us is this, is you know, who is your roof? Who is your roof? Who is that person that allows you to look over the terrain and see further? I hope it's Jesus first. It has to be Jesus. But also, who are your brothers and sisters in Christ who are helping you, you know, having a battle buddy, helping you when you're encountering those tough seasons of your life? Who are coming alongside of you and helping you get a tactical vantage point? Have you ever had someone when you're in a battle or in a hard time in your life actually come alongside you and tear you down or take you further back or make you go further into gloom and doom? You ever had those what we call life suckers or the you know, the pessimistics that yeah, they claim Jesus, but they get alongside of you, and boy, they're like, well, what can God do? Oh boy, you have to just ride this one out. There's really no hope. Or have you had those friends in your life that have helped you kind of get over that spiritual battle? Say, hey, yeah, things are dark. There's a real threat, but by the grace of God, we're going to be alert. We're going to be sober. We're going to walk together. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to meet you. I'm going to encourage you. We're going to call in the name of Jesus. We're going to speak to this issue in the name of Jesus. Who's your roof? Who's that person that's helping you to get a spiritual vantage point to get through life, right? There's over, if I top of my head, I remember, I think it's over like 35 or 37 times where it says in the New Testament, encourage one another or bear with one another. We are each other's roofs in that sense, that spiritual sense. We are to help each other get up and to see what God's doing. Sometimes we just need to be elevated from the problems and the threats around us. And we need to see that our God is able and capable to help us get through these spiritual battles. All right, I want to show you a second clip here before we get to the last point and close here. But here's a second clip I want to show you here, all right? Here we go. Sound up. Here we go.
This is my camp, not his. He sees it the other way around. So what's the most imperative thing that I can do today? Get my electrics on. Get those spotlights on in camp. The predators tend to stay out of range of the spotlights. But if he doesn't, I will defend this camp with every piece of armament that I've got. I will defend my foxies with every piece of armament that I've got. This is my camp.
Who would like to tangle with her? Every time I watch that little fox hat, it makes me laugh every time. I'm just like, whatever that is, it's a cute little hat. But anyhow, so the third point here, let me end this, is tell yourself, this is my camp. This is my camp. David came into the camp of Israel, and what did he say? He said, this is my camp. This is the camp of the living king. This is the camp of the Lord of Israel, the one who created the heavens and the earth. This is the Lord God Almighty's camp. David didn't go, oh my goodness, the Philistines are here. He said, know your role, Philistines. I know my God. And I want to encourage you, the third way of winning the spiritual warfare, the inner battle, is declaring this is my camp. It's fighting with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, defending. I love how she said, I'll use any and every armament to defend my place. She said she was going to use floodlights. She was going to use guns. She was going to use whatever it needed to defend her little place. Church, today, as believers in Jesus, we must not be wimps when it comes to fighting. We have the sword of the Spirit. Now, we could put it into, you know, modern terms. We have the, you know, I don't know, the Moab, the mother of all bombs right here. We have the word of God that can destroy and bring down our strongholds, that can fight and protect us against anything the enemy brings against us. We have to fight. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes, he says, put on the full armor of God. And there's a lot of people sometimes in progressive theology and Christianity that don't like to talk about this. Oh, we're supposed to be peaceful and loving. And yes, that is true. But Jesus said in John 14-16, he says, hey, you're going to have some battles. Fight strong. Stand up. I'm with you. Paul writes, put on the full armor of God. And that full armor is really about going out and doing battle. And church, I want to remind us today, we are here. We must defend the camp. When threats come into your family, your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your health, your finances, whatever it is, we don't back away, right? This is our camp. God said this is all his. This is all his. You are his, not the enemy. The enemy has lies, and sometimes we think that the devil has full reign here, and the devil has control. And the answer is, biblically, it's not true. He has to go through the Father to be able to do anything. But the Father's in control of everything here. And we must fight. We must fight. In John 16:33, it says, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus didn't call us to shrink back, to have a defeatist mindset, or to just go inside and hide when the threats come to our camp. He wants us to go forward and take what we believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouth and speak it and speak to that situation and then put it into action. And so I want to ask this today. My question is, what is your battle verse or what's your fight verse? There was a song that said, there's a pop song that says, this is my fight song. Right? There's a song that says, my fight song. What is your fight song today? What's your fight verse? What's your life verse? What is that verse you go to when things happen in your life? Do you strap up? Do you put on the sword of spirit? Do you put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation when the threats come? Or are you like the Israelites who just sit and hear the threats and they don't do anything? I think probably a lot of people in this room would raise their hand and say, Pastor Dan, I believe in Jesus. That's great, church. That's great. Can I say that's great? But it doesn't do any good to the world and to those around you if you don't confess with your mouth that he's Lord and confess the promises of Scripture in that. And I've been guilty of that as well. A lot of times I've been out, right? Stuff happens, threats happen, and we try to figure out in our own capability, our own ways, or things come against us, and we turn to everything but the Word or but to Jesus first. We turn to everything else. But not always. Many of you here, you turn to Christ first. And I encourage you, keep doing that. Turn to his Word. Call on his name. But church, what is your battle verse? What's your fight verse? I hope that you have some of those life verses, those verses in your mind that you can call upon and you can go to when the threats come. We need to have a belief today that no matter what happens, our enemy is weak and he's not able to defeat us. Go back to 1 Samuel here. Go back to 1 Samuel here. And in here, we're going to look at verse 38 and going on here. What's interesting is David tried to put on other people's armor. And you've heard sermons about this. He put on other people's armor. Sometimes, I want to encourage you, we try to use other people's testimonies or verses and almost act like, well, God did something for Naomi, so I'm just going to use her testimony, her verse. And somehow it's almost like an amulet, a magical incantation, something. No, Christ wants to give you a verse. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to use the gifts and the strengths in this verses that he's revealed to you and he brings back to your heart and mind. He wants you to have some personal testimonies. We know this where David picks up the armor. He tries it off. He says, no, it's not my armor. He puts it down and goes back to what he knew, what defeated the things before. And I want to encourage you, where has God used you before? What verses, what songs, what stories in the Bible has he spoken to you to help you defeat the spiritual battle you've gone through before? Make sure that you testify to what he's done in your life. Don't try to just a copycat. Well, this person quoted, you know, this verse, so it's got to work for me. No, God's word is true and it's holy and it's powerful and mighty. But make sure you're not trying to use it as some type of just, you know, if I do this, A plus B, it's got to equal C. Make sure, just like King David, you're walking in what God's given you, the verses and the testimony he's given you. Secondly is this here. When we're fighting, when we're protecting our camp, go down here. In verse 41 on, David goes on and he declares all these different things. And then if you go down through 54, David speaks these things. You're going to be defeated. I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to defeat you. You're going to run. You're not going to go against the God of Israel. David began to confess with what was in his heart. Now David could have went up and been silent. And I believe God would have probably given the victory because David's heart and mind was already there. But David spoke, and what happened after David spoke and he killed Goliath? What happened? The Israelites got some vigor, and they pursued the Philistines and sent them running and killed them. By confessing with our mouth, you inspire others. Many of us can believe in Jesus, but when we confess, when we share Jesus, when we talk about Jesus at Hy-Vee or at Walmart, at the gas station, out with our neighbors, with our friends that don't know Christ, when we confess him, when we face these spiritual battles, people are strengthened. Other believers, but those that don't know Christ are strengthened to put their hope and faith in Christ. And so David began, from this point, David began to encourage the nation of Israel to go out and to fight. And what's interesting is if we had time to go begin to read through 1 Samuel, a lot of times before David would go out, he would speak things. He would say, "Nation of Israel, our God's with us. We serve the, you know, the one true God. Hey, he's going to deliver us into his hands," and so forth and so on. He began to speak with what he believed in, and that empowered the nation to go out and fight. There's a correlation between the heart and the mind. The mouth and the mind. Excuse me. As we see in the scripture today, we have to believe. We also have to confess. And when the threats come, our hope that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is able and he's powerful. So let me end with this. Psalms 19:14 again. It says, "May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." As you go today and this week, as you fight the battles you have to fight, I'd encourage you, make sure that what your heart believes and what your mouth confesses is pleasing to God. Don't be two different things. Don't confess Jesus and call on his name for the battle, but you don't believe him. You don't trust he's going to do it. But don't fully trust in him and yet not call upon his name and confess with your mouth and come against the threats that are coming against you today. That paper that I handed to you, I want to encourage you to go home today. I want you to write out the threats that are coming against you. Now, there might be some threats out here. Maybe there's a threat that's way out there. But maybe there's a threat that's really close to center, that's really affecting you right now. Write them out, and then I want to encourage you, get with a battle buddy. Get with one of our brothers and sisters that's here today, or someone, maybe they're not here today, a strong believer that believes in God, you know, follows Jesus, that believes and confesses, and get together and pray and say, "Hey, will you help me? Will you pray with me? Will you be my battle buddy? Will you journey with me? Will you help me be alert, be sober, resist the enemy, and call in the name of Jesus and believe that he's going to strengthen me?" Get somebody to go alongside of you and pray over these things and encourage you. We all need one another in to protect the camp, right? All of us together form the body of Christ, and we need each other to protect our individual camps and also the church of the living King. There's a lot of threats right now in our nation, as we all know, that are coming against the church of the King. And we need to help each other see, hey, the Lord is with us. Be alert. Don't be discouraged. Speak to those things that are coming against the church, that our God is able and more powerful and stronger. So take that home, write down some threats, and then get with somebody and pray about those so that you can be encouraged and that together you can fight and put to flight those Philistines in your life, those threats that are coming against you, and declare Jesus' name over them. So let's pray, church, and let's ask God to be with us. And let's ask him to be in our heart and mind and ask us to be our protector and our strong defender. So let's pray here. Father, we come before you and we say thank you. God, we say thank you that, God, when the threats come against us, when the enemy roars against us, we know that, Jesus, you're faithful and true. God, we ask right now, God, against every threat that comes against our physical body, our health, our finances, our mind, God, our marriages, our kids, our jobs, our neighborhoods, Sioux City. Jesus, we believe and we confess that you are able and that you are stronger and you are better and that, Jesus, you fight our battles. And just like King David, we speak and we say, no one will defy the Lord Most High. And Jesus, we ask you right now to come into every situation, bring your shalom, bring your wholeness, which brings peace and just, God, a rest, God, from the battle. Bring that to our lives right now, God. Bring it to every situation that's faced in this room right now, God. We pray that, God, you would bring friends in our life, God, and that we would be friends to others that need a battle buddy, that need someone to walk alongside of them, God, and to call upon the name of the Lord and to fight and to resist the enemy and these threats that he's bringing against us. God, we pray that you would strengthen your church of Suitland. God, strengthen your church in America and around the world to resist the enemy, to be alert and to be sober, to fight and say, this is our camp. This place belongs to the Lord Most High. And that we will stand firm and we will call on your name, Jesus. God, may your words, Jesus, come off our lips and may your words be in our minds. And may our minds be renewed by you and may the power of your word. God, thank you for all that you're doing in our heart and mind. Thank you for all you're doing here at Cross Point. God, go with us this week as we fight our battles. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.